I'm so excited about this particular class. This is one of my favorite subjects to talk about because I've learned so much in this apostolic transition that we've been making. I've been learning a lot about faith. Now, to begin this, I want you to know that you have to begin to read the Word of God from an apostolic point of view rather than a pastoral point of view. And of course, I've mentioned it before, but what I mean by that, let's use these phrases. We're going to have to begin to start reading the Word of God from a God-centric, a God-centered point of view rather than a self-centric or a self-centered point of view. Whenever you begin to delve into the Word of God, the question should be on your mind is, what does God want me to see out of this particular scripture, rather than what can God do for me with me using this scripture? And so it's going to change your perspective on how you read the Word of God, which leads me to understand to explaining apostolic faith as compared to pastoral, apostolic model faith as compared to pastoral model faith. The pastoral model faith has been self-centric. Faith, we've been taught that faith is a tool to get what we want. But in order to understand faith accurately and from an apostolic point of view or a God-centric point of view, we have to first establish what is the objective of faith. What is the purpose of faith? So if you go with me to Hebrews 11th chapter, this is one of my favorite subjects to talk about because I had this when my understanding of faith shifted, things began to happen in my life much quicker. We're going to study apostolic faith, but it's going to lead us to do another study of the word ask. And so you're going to find out that the word ask is not necessarily what you think it is. The Bible begins to say, and I think it's one of the passages said in John 15, ask what ye will. Well, a lot of us thinking we ask for what we want. But according to Matthew 6, the Heavenly Father knows what we have need of even before we ask. So Jesus gave us another way to pray. So in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we have to figure out what the objective of faith is. Very first verse, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope, it simply means a plan, future goal, what you're dreaming, what somebody's dreaming about. It says faith is the substance or is the stuff that makes up what something is being planned for. Now, we've been taught that hope in that first verse is talking about our hope. But it's not talking about our hope or what we plan for. How I know that? Go to verse 6. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here we see that it says, but without faith. According to the first verse, faith is the substance or it's the stuff that makes up dreams. Other words, that first verse says, now faith, brings to reality dreams. Now we got to find out whose dreams that it brings to pass. If you look in the sixth verse, it tells us whose dreams. Because if faith pleases God, then that means we must have done something to make him happy or to make him pleased. Are you seeing this? So the first objective of faith is to please God, is to do what God wants. That's the first objective of faith. Now, the way we've been taught faith is we've made faith as a tool to get what we want. We made that the objective. But that is not the objective. That is the results. Are you getting this? Because watch what it says. Now, watch what it says in the sixth verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch what it says in the sixth verse. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we've seen this phrase before, seek him. Or just the word seek. Hold your fingers there. Go to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. And you know where I'm going. The 33rd verse. Matthew 6:33. Most of us know the scripture by heart. And if you don't know it by heart, you need to learn it so you can know it by heart, because this scripture is very key to you understanding how to be fruitful in the kingdom, how to get results in the kingdom, not only for God, but get results for yourself. It says in verse 33, but seek ye what? Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. Or another way to say that is God's ways of doing things and his righteousness, or other words, and doing them his way right. And what it says, all these things will be added to you. That's the word rewarder. But notice, go back to Hebrews 11 chapter. Notice what comes first. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. So that means the main objective of our faith is to please God. All right. So now that we understand that our objective, that faith's primary objective is to please God. We can go back to the first verse and it says, now faith is the substance or brings to reality the dreams of God. And it is the evidence of what's not seen. Other, what that means? That means that when we use our faith to bring the dreams of God to pass, don't you think God will be pleased? And when God becomes pleased, that is the evidence of what we want. That's the evidence of that we're going to receive what we desire. Because guess what now? Who gave us our desires? I think it's Psalms 34:7 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the what? Desires of your heart. What's the first part that says, delight yourself in the Lord? What does that mean? Please God. How do I please God? By walking in faith. Now I'm about to make it very simple for you. Faith is not complicated. Faith is very easy. Faith is not nothing super, super, super deep, because if it was super, super deep, a lot of us wouldn't get there. Faith is very simple. So are you ready? We're going to learn what faith is, apostolic faith, because I'm about to make it simple for you. Faith is not just what you believe. Faith is just not the denomination you're in. Faith is the very thing that pleases God and brings his dreams to pass. All right. Go with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Now, this is important. I'm taking time. I'll probably take one more class before we actually get into the actual book. Because, once again, I say this again. If we start digging in the lines of honorable men without you understanding, what an apostle, who an apostle is, what an apostle can do, the real meaning of faith, and then we get to the real God-centric definition of ask next class, it's going to be hard for you to grasp the concepts, the biblical concepts, and the true meaning of covenant. Because if you have competing ideas for your attention, what I mean by competing ideas, you have a need in your life and you're trying to get this need met. Well, if you're trying to get this need met and you're focusing on this need, then you're only going to do what it takes to get this need met. That's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by seeking first the kingdom of God. He said first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or doing them his way right. And all these things will be added to you. So the apostolic causes these two to work in conjunction. I seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to me. So they're no longer competing. In the pastoral model, they were competing, because in the pastoral model, we were first. Even though we act like we were seeking God, like if we go to church, if we praise him, if we live right, all of those things, living right, praising God, going to church, is to prepare us to please God. That's just the beginning. That just gets us prepared to please God. So Romans, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Romans, the 12th chapter. And the third verse. It says, for I say this, the Apostle Paul talking. Now remember, the Apostle Paul is an apostle. So what an apostle does, he structures heaven and earth government so that the portal of the supernatural can be open. Number two, this is important because this is what we're about to see here. An apostle structures doctrine. All right. And we know the third one, he or she has grace to cover principality, to tear down or to deal with the territorial demons and principalities. But I want to focus on number two. He structures doctrine. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans. And watch what he say. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, according to the Apostle Paul, God has given every man, notice what it says, T-H-E, the measure, or specific, not a measure, the measure of faith. The word measure there means part or piece. So if you got a recipe, you're baking a cake or whatever you may be making, sometimes it'll tell you, you take three parts of this, or three measures of sugar, or three measures of flour. What it's telling you, you're taking a piece, a part of a whole recipe. If you leave any of those things out, the recipe would not come out right. So that means, watch this. In the verse 3, the Apostle Paul is saying that every believer has been given a specific part of faith. Now, faith cannot be an abstract word. It cannot be an abstract word. It has to be concrete. Because in Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance or brings to reality. Other words, it has to manifest in the natural. It may start off in the supernatural, but it has to manifest in the natural. It's the substance of things hoped for. So the dreams of God has to manifest. How does the dreams of God manifest? Through you and I. All right, are you with me? So it says, God has dealt to every man their, or the, you can make it personal, their part or measure of faith. So we got to find the word for faith. I'll never forget, I was studying this years ago, and I was asking the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, you got to make this plain to me. I need to understand what you mean by a measure of faith. He simply said this. The Holy Spirit works with me. He keeps this thing simple with me. He said, I want you to replace the word faith with the word assignment. I said, wow. So now we read in this same scripture. Let's read it this way. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, I'm in Romans 12, verse 3, that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of assignment. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is that every last one of us has an assignment or interrelated instructions from God. Let's look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of your assignment. So now, let me finish reading that. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exalteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So the Apostle Paul is giving examples and saying every one of us has a grace, or we've been empowered to do what God has assigned us to do. Now, have it understand that you can take now, in order for us, this I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, okay, this I understand you placed the word with, faith with assignment. He said, now, take the word assignment, and everywhere you see the word faith, replace it with that. Okay, let's jump right over to, you can do it. Every faith scripture you can find, take it and replace it with the word assignment. I'm just going to do a few. Look at Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. Watch how it makes sense. So then assignment cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Make it personal. So your assignment cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the word there in the Greek is translated rhema. So it says your assignment comes by hearing, and hearing a live word from God. In other words, rhema, God talking to you. That's how you get your assignment. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, my assignment is the substance. Now, is it making sense? Is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But without my assignment, it's impossible to please him. So your children cannot please you unless they know what you want. When they know what you want, they can do those actions, execute those tasks, and you then are what? Pleased. So that's why it's impossible to please God without knowing what he wants. Because he gave you a piece or a measure of assignment or a measure of faith. Look in Romans 1:17. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The right ways of God revealed from assignment to assignment. As it is written, the just shall live by assignment. So I carry out my process of life, that's living, I carry out my process of life by my assignment. Hebrews 10. Watch this. Hebrews 10 and 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith or by their assignment. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It still is Apostle Paul, right? He says, now the just shall live by his or her assignment. Galatians 3:11. Apostle Paul repeated this over and over again. So it must be important. If you don't live by faith, you're not pleasing God. Yes, you can show up to church. Yes, you can praise him. Yes, you can pray all day. But if you're not living by your assignment, you're not pleasing God. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. For the just shall live by his or her assignment. That's three times, right? Romans 1:17, Hebrews 10:38, Galatians 3:11. It's one more time. This time we're going to jump to the Old Testament, the original, Habakkuk 2:4. Go ahead and jump in your context. If you don't have an index like me, I have an index Bible. If you don't have an index Bible, go ahead and jump into your table of contents. Then sometimes it's still hard to find. Habakkuk 2:4. Let's see. Habakkuk. I thought I was going to be able to find that easy, but it ain't that easy. Habakkuk. There it is. Habakkuk 2:4. Watch what in Habakkuk 2:4 it says, behold, his soul which is lifted up and is not upright in him. But the just, now watch this, but the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk said it differently. The just shall live by his assignment. So now faith should have for you just shifted from being an abstract word, a word that has, you can't touch it. It's just, you can't put your hands on it. You can't smell it. It's just abstract. It should have become a concrete word to you. You can put your hands on it. You can touch it. You can see it. It depends on your occupation. You can smell it. Depends on what you call it. You can smell it. Some of them may be called to be a chef. You can smell it. You can smell your assignment. Other words, it should no longer be an abstract word. Faith should be a concrete word. Because if faith does not become concrete to you, then it's going to be impossible for you to please God. What pleases God? By bringing his dreams to reality. How wonderful it is that the Apostle Paul revealed to us that God has dealt to every man the measure or their part of their assignment. God has put his dreams on our shoulders. God has put things that he wants to happen in the earth realm on our shoulders. It's our responsibility to bring those things to pass. You can't bring to pass, though, what you don't know. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse, we've already read it, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Knowing what God wants, knowing what God is asking of you. Go to Ephesians, the 1st chapter. The Apostle Paul again praying a prayer. Very important prayer. Ephesians, the 1st chapter. Are you seeing the difference in how we were taught faith and how faith, what faith objective really is? Because remember, don't forget Matthew 6:33, because I don't want you to think that your personal desires are left out. They're not left out. Matthew, the 6th chapter says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are you getting this? So we're not being left out. Go to Ephesians. I said Ephesians, first chapter. I'm almost finished. Ephesians, the first chapter, because there's a lot to chew on. Because I want you to take time to go through the New Testament and look up the word faith. Run a concordance. Look up the word faith. And everywhere you see the word faith, replace it with the word assignment. Ephesians, the first chapter. Watch this. The Apostle Paul is saying in verse 15, wherefore also, after I heard of your faith, heard of your assignment in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making a mention of you in my prayers. Why? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of success, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, this is why Apostle Paul praying this, and why he wants you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, meaning the knowledge of God, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the future plans, future goals of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. See, most of us read that scripture and think it's an inheritance we getting from God. No, there's something in you that God has to inherit. What that means, there's something God has placed in you that he has to inherit or receive so that his dreams can come to pass in the earth realm. Apostle Paul, if anybody got a right to talk about this, is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is persecuting Christians, killing them until he got to that road to Damascus and allowed God to inherit from him what God had placed in him. Out of all the wrongdoing that Apostle Paul was doing, God never lost the fact that he had something inside of Saul, who became Paul, inside of him that would cause his dream to come to pass. Now let's talk a few things right here. If you don't understand and find out what God wants, you will and be able to execute it, you will trip up future generations. What if Paul had not went on that road to Damascus? What if he wouldn't have allowed himself to be knocked off that horse? What if he wouldn't have accepted that call? We would not have over 2/3 of the New Testament. A lot of the doctrine wouldn't be structured like this. The Apostle Paul, because he understood his assignment and helped to bring to pass the dreams of God, all of us are benefiting. Who are you holding back? See, that's why we had to get to the lines of honor, because you're going to find out that your assignment or your faith will not be clear until you attach yourself to the agenda of God. That's why in Genesis 12 and 3, God told Abram, I'm going to bless those that bless you. He told Abram, I'm going to cause to prosper those that cause you to prosper. What that simply means, when they began to seek first the agenda of God, which was attached to Abram, God says God began to prosper them. I hope you're seeing this. I hope this is clear. So you being attached to an apostolic house is going to make your life clearer. Things that was causing you confusion, when you understand that your faith is not to clear up the confusion. Your faith is not to clear up the confusion in your life. God is going to clear that up. But what God is trying to get you to do, God is doing is getting you to focus on him. When he gets you to focus on him, you give him permission to focus on you. Galatians 6 and 7, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when you work that principle, your faith is trying to get you to work that principle. When you focus on what God wants, God is now obligated to focus on what you want. Now here's the thing. The Bible says in Matthew, the sixth chapter, turn there, watch this. Matthew, the sixth chapter, glory to God. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Turn there real quick. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Let me find it. It says, in verse 31, It's Jesus talking. Verse 31, Matthew 6, verse 31. Take no thought. That's the wrong scripture. Let me find it. Oh, verse 27. That's what I want. Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Other words, what Jesus was saying is all the focus you put on your issues and your problems, how many of them have you solved on your own? How many have you solved on your own? Other words, Jesus saying, don't focus on none of that. I need you to focus on what God wants, what God needs, what God wants from you. When you do that, you give God the right to focus on what you want. Now, here's the question. The things that you focus on, the things that you try to solve, did you solve them? No. Can God solve them? Yes, he can. He's a sovereign God. So all the issues that you've been trying to solve on your own, God is trying to get you to focus on what he wants. See, God has put self-imposed limitations on himself. What is a self-imposed limitation? He cannot do anything in the earth realm until he has somebody in the earth realm to cooperate with him. When he has somebody to, and why did he do that? He did it because he loved us. He wanted us to be involved with him. He wanted us to have a relationship with him. He wanted to fellowship with him. He wanted us to fellowship with him so therefore we can know what he wants and so that we can execute in the earth realm what he wants. It is God working through you to perform his good will. That's his self-imposed limitation. So that self-imposed limitation or weakness that God put in himself is what strengthens us to do what he asks us to do. And he graces us. He empowers us to do it. Praise God. So he's trying to get us to focus on what he wants. So it gives him the opportunity to focus on what I want or what we want. Listen, those issues in your life, you've been working on them and working on them and working on them, trying to figure it out, and ain't nothing changed. But when you focus on what he wants and God begins to focus on what you want, do you think God can make a change in that area? Yes, he can. See, the pastoral model have been having us go a roundabout way to get to this. But the apostolic is giving us a straight line to action being taking place in our lives. When you find out a formula, when you find out a system, when you find out a way, God's ways of doing things, you can make things happen quicker in your life. You can make things happen faster in your life. Why? Because you're no longer focused on what you want or your issues. You focus. Why do you think Matthew 11? Turn there. I'm excited. Matthew 11. Watch this. Watch this. Matthew 11. Watch what it says. Verse 28. Come unto me. This is Jesus talking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what he said he's going to do, I'm going to give you rest. 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Watch what he said. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why are you carrying your heavy burdens? Why are you trying to walk with your yokes on? Won't you give your yokes to him and take his yoke? What is his yoke? Faith. His your assignment. It's much easier for you to do your assignment than you. Watch this. It's much easier for you to do what God has called you to do than you to figure out how to solve your problems. I'm going to say that again. It's much easier for you to do what God is asking you to do. It's much easier for you to please God than it is to solve your problems. So won't you go ahead and allow God to show you what he wants with you so that you can do it and let him solve your problems.